Hustle Brother take two. Action. All right, y'all, welcome back to Postal Girl. You know, we're in a new month, so a new series. So welcome to the All Access series for May. And this time we have a new special guest. Welcome, Kiki.
What's up?
But now, the way she edits on, she go crazy.
What's up?
What up?
How are you?
Good.
You
a little tired.
How are you? I'm booming tonight too, so I'm just like.
Yeah, I'd be working out a whole lot. Now.
Really?
Yeah, I got to. I gotta stay in shape.
I'm gonna start back.
And I just never just been like fat or nothing like that. And I don't want to get older. Yeah. And you see, especially like black men, they just get their weight.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. They just get their.
It's hard with the stomach,
and then get to the back of the neck. I was looking at the dude's neck. He was look like he was 40, but he like he used to be in shape. Yeah. It's just like just extra meat. I was like, I can't do that. And I'm cool.
I try to get But go ahead and tell them who is Hit Kid.
What's up? I'm Hit Kid. I don't know what I want to even call myself, but just overall creator, but most of y'all know me for producing.
Period.
All right,
cool. But tell them how you got into producing.
That's interesting. I got into producing, like, basically I was born into it because my dad used to go to the studio, so I used to roll with him.
That's lit.
He used to give me, like, Cheeto Puffs and... Exactly. I'm sitting in the corner, him and his partner, like they doing that thing, and I just like have like I'm probably like 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, as I got older, I really will remember, but just in the early stages, it was just crazy. And like I can remember like bits and pieces of it, like being in the studio.
Do you remember your first time producing or your first thing producing?
If you want to call using a cassette tape on the little gray radio, then yeah, when I was about 3, I don't remember the first one. I got some tapes. I got cassette tapes in the shoebox in my closet of me and my cousin like trying to rap like at 3, 4 years old.
You remember the song?
Like we had front and back. I used to like name the mix like the tapes. And we used to like play the piano, push the little button on the piano on the drums or whatever. He used to have some weak beats, like, he used to be rapping on it. And we used to, like, just say, record it. Like, you put the tape in there, record it, had a beat. I don't know how we even did that. I ain't gonna lie. But we used to have to try to record, and, yeah, it was basically, like, my first time, you want to say, producing.
Would you say your style of producing has changed from when you first started to now? Or, like, how would you say it's changed, if it has?
I mean, like, first, yeah, because I'm just trying to make... See, I'm just making beats like what sound good at the time, but for the most part, like 80% of the time, I'm trying to really figure it out. You know, I was just making beats and excited, like, okay, this sound cool, it's done. But I started catching my rhythm probably like 4 or 5 years later, because it wasn't too many YouTube videos about like how to produce. Cause yeah, it's just like one too many producers out there, like Les Luger and Southside. But at that time, they was already on FL for a long time, or a producer for a long time, well longer than me.
That's good. I want to talk about branding a little. Tell us, like, where did Hit Kid for President come from?
Just out of my head, really. But the main thing was, how can I? Just make a idea. I just took an idea and just make and put it into music art form. Just turned it into a whole brand. So it's just like Hit Kid for President. I'm cool with a lot of people. Blah blah blah. People person, whatever you want to call it. So I just found like a little niche. I found like a little niche and then just rolled with it. But this started like in 2017. And I had a mixtape called Hit Kid for President, like a real deal, like mixtape. I had like DJ Crisscross and DJ Cortez. to like do the drops, because you know at this time people weren't doing like the drops, like the DJ drops, like the bring it back and all that, or doing the talking when nobody doing that. So I thought it would be cool to do that. And around that time, Spinrilla was at his height, and yeah, so I had it on Spinrilla, and yeah, just took it. And then like in 2019 I had did a not album but just another mixtape, but it was on DSP at the time, just trying to find a better way to do the project, and to this point now.
Why do you think branding is so important, being a person who is in the industry or just like making a name for themselves? Why would you say branding yourself uniquely is very important?
It just make people interested. Like, you don't want to be the person that people just walking by and you, man, what ain't, I make good music.
Yeah.
I take good pictures, or I do good podcasting. Mm-hmm. You need somebody you need to stamp, like, you gotta have a very interesting reason why it should be you. Why you, you know what I'm saying? So, like, McDonald's, they stamp. Walmart, they stamp. And even though they stamp, they still doing ads. You see ads, McDonald's ads everywhere. Everybody know what McDonald's is. And they still keep promoting and branding. And they always find different ways to brand. They always move with the next, like, the next, you know what I'm saying? They keeping up with time. Like, you know, during the 1960s, it was different than 2024. And they, you know, they managed to keep their brand up to date. So, yeah, you'll get left in the past. You don't have like a good solid foundation in terms of branding. But I say just overall, just being interesting, you need a brand, and it's important because it's just making it interesting.
Like, what's the head turner aspect of yourself? What makes you
me personally?
No, I'm
about myself.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you asked me.
No,
like, I'm ready.
I'm
for this
joint. Go ahead and answer that.
I don't know. It's just like if I walk in the room. The energy shift, I can just tell you. I feel like I can squeeze bad energy out of the room.
That's good.
Like, soon I walk in the room, it's just like, I don't know. Like you turn on a light when I walk in the room.
Period. Okay.
What's it called? Illuminated?
I think that's the word.
Yeah, to light.
The illuminate. I think that's the word.
You got luminosity.
No. It's
the light.
Yeah, I'm the light. The light. The illuminated one.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, illuminated.
Yeah.
So in the producer game, speaking of branding, uniqueness, all of that, what makes you stand out, or your style of producing, or just like you in general, basically, stand out in the producing game?
Back to what you said, the brand. Like, I got it. But let me take it back. It's because of my personality, too. Mm. A lot of people that produce ain't got no personality. They just sit there.
Like, don't talk to me.
Yo, bro, you need 20 beats? Nah, I'm not doing all that. Like, I be pushing my own stuff. I be, man.
You're creative, too.
I do some of everything. Like, I'm not the type to wait on the artist to send me back the song. I go do it. I'm not waiting. Like, I go do it for myself, but just primarily my personality that separate me from everybody. And obviously, I guess I got some good, decent beats. It is very hard and very gangster, and people want to listen to it, to that type of music, and yeah.
Excellent. Tell us about, like, what's your process when producing? Take us through a hickey beat, or how it's made.
I'm going to grab some chips from somewhere, and something to drink, and then go sit down, my Razer laptop, open that joint up, and just start clicking around, like, literally, like, kick, kick. Mm-hmm. I might not be clicking on the right thing, I'm just clicking. And then it'll just spark an idea. Or I might be at JCPenney somewhere and I heard a song, Down in Shazam, and I just kind of branch an idea off of what I done heard. Or I might be driving somewhere, seeing something, it's like, okay, I can take that and, you know what I'm saying, put some stuff together. It can be like the simplest thing. I didn't hear somebody talk on the podcast, and I just get a sense of inspiration, and I go in and go, you know, go home or wherever I'm making the beat at, and start messing around. Like, I might cook a sound, see what it sound like. Most of the time, I'm not looking for a specific sound. I'm just,
whatever comes to me.
If I click it and I feel like I feel like dealing with it, then I'm going to do it. But I always challenge myself to make a beat at the first sound, using the first sound I have. That's it. So, yeah, that's like a cool thing for myself to be able to test myself.
Mm-hmm. How you feel the producing game is right now? What you feel about it? What's your opinion on it?
Now, ain't no, but it's like real producers like dying off. Mm-hmm. Everybody just trying to make beats and the producer trying to be like rappers. So, yeah, everybody want to have like, say, I got a chain, but you know what I'm saying? Everybody like doing the same stuff. Like, you can say I got a chain, but you can't say like I'm like anybody else. Yeah. So, basically, like the producers, they just want to be like the rappers. So, they getting lazy. They just want all the women. They want to be in the club, be seen. They don't know how to structure songs. They're not going to the studio, going back to the studio and really like producing the song, like no post-production, meaning like adding songs. I mean, not adding songs, adding sounds, rearranging sounds, you know, hollering at the engineers, piecing everything together. Yeah, like, especially like when you start getting in a different type of tax bracket, you starting to get a little content. And you be like, you know, I can really just, man, I just get woo the woo. Y'all, hey, y'all make this and mm-hmm. you not even making it. I mean, you producing, that's producing though, but you lost the love for like actually making the, putting it together, like making the sounds yourself. And yeah, a lot of them just getting lazy.
What do you think would fix that? Or do you think it's a fix to that?
The way music going, everybody want their quick, like, look, ah. Yeah, I wasn't raised like this, so I don't need none of that to make me.
It's
in me, but like it's not ain't too much that can fix it, unless I don't know. I don't think there's no fixing it unless it just one to one just get picked.
Yeah.
And people just tune it out of a sudden, just tune into it. They able to market it right on how to be a producer, an actual producer, and more people start doing it and it just become a thing. But right now, nah, nothing.
Hey, y'all get it together.
Nah, they need to. Yeah, shoot. If you're a producer and you watching this, it's your fault when you get together. Don't wait on no big artist, bro. Make your own artist.
Say it again?
Make your own artist. Make your own table.
Make your own table. You're very creative, and I discovered, like, or realized who you were with Shabuya and Set the Tone and everything, but I realized you were, like, overall, just watching even since then, you were very creative.
Like what I do?
Like, you put stuff together, yeah, I feel like you put stuff together very creatively.
Yeah, I feel like I can do a lot more, but I do a lot of stuff, and they got, you know, overlooked, and I won't say most recent, but
yeah.
My most prolific song that everybody knows, like FNL, it was like one of ones. But I really feel like Shibuya, like, bigger because how it came together, like, creatively with the song.
How did it come together?
I got the 12-hour session. We were trying to figure out, like, we want to add, like, song. We want to do, so, you know, we did the EP, right, the Set Song EP. And we was like, man, we need to do some more songs. Let's do a bigger project. Said the EP had did good. Video was going crazy. I was like, let's go and do an album, y'all, together, just us. And we were going to the studio at, like, do some more songs. I was documenting everything. Mm-hmm. And it was just one of them sessions. It was 12 hours. Got to the session.
12 hours is a long time, too.
Yeah, we recorded the EP in 12 hours, the autumn folk song. I went back and fixed it. But nevertheless, did another 12-hour session. And I had this beat. I think I was in Atlanta somewhere, and I was thinking about, like, I seen a clip of the guy singing Shibuya on the bus. I'm like, you know what? I think I want to make a song out of this. I ended up getting back to Memphis, and I had the beat, but it wasn't, like, to do no Shibuya to it. It was just, I just want them to try something. It was like a looking boy song. But, you know, the Memphis way, so it was going to be turned. And they were really finna talk about some people, like, people that everybody know. I was like, nah. Then I think I said, yeah. I don't know what I really said. At first, I was initially thinking, like, nah, bro, don't fuck with me, mad. But I'm like, hey, y'all women,
yeah.
They might not be as harsh to y'all. So we'll roll with it. And then we had laid some lines to the beat. The beat wasn't even finished. It's just like I had took a beat and, like, stretched it out. So when we got to the studio, I could just send it, and y'all just do an idea, and I build around it.
Yeah.
And when they were doing the Looking Boy song, like I had dropped like a clip on my Instagram where you could see us like working on it. And I think Slime was, you hear my voice and then Slime, you didn't hear Slime verse. I think Slime verse was on there. Anyway, I got a clip with Slime verse. She was rapping it and I don't know. Did I change my idea to that? I changed my idea the same, like the same session, but then also the same session, I had cut the session short because people would fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, it's about time to roll. My eye got people asleep. No, I'm here. I'm up. No. I'm like, nah, no sleeping in the studio. If you go sleep, you got to go to the lounge. Like, that's cool. You sleeping, but, like, you got to go to the lounge. Everybody in here working. I don't care if you on the computer or playing the game or you need to be doing something.
It's good to have that structure, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have structure, like I said.
A lot of people ain't been raised like that outside of anything dealing with work. So, and when it's in real time, they think somebody being harsh.
Yeah.
They ain't never been, I ain't really grow up militant, but I was like, I know about like structure. And, you know, that's how I want to run the session. That's part of being a producer too. Like, you got to control the climate of the studio because, like, you get people coming in, laughing, talking. Just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on? Especially, I'm spending my money out of my pocket. You coming in, man, bro, man, get what? And I'm saying, I'm finna tell though, he gotta get out of here. Let me just hope he just feel the energy. Really? Yeah, can't play the song, bro. Play the song. Like, I gotta do all this. So, we end up doing the Shibuya, going back to the Shibuya song, we end up going back we end up doing a different idea the same day. I think I stayed. I said, I'm going to wait till somebody came with some food. Mm-hmm. I think my wife, my wife and son ended up getting there. Then we did the Shibuya idea. And I was like, I like this. And then we went to the studio again. Did it. And then went to the studio one more time and fixed it. Yeah. I think like 3 or 4 times for that one song.
That's good.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Because at first, like in the beginning, you could hear them like trying to get themselves together to do the song. 1, 2, 3. It was like a mini clip of them doing it because they couldn't. I don't lie. One of y'all a little slow. All y'all a little slow because I just heard. I'm like, what y'all ain't got no rhythm? Like, what y'all doing? And that was recorded too. I gotta find that clip. And yeah, that was fun. That was fun. And then the video was fun because that was like my biggest video that I really executive produced and directed. Mm-hmm. Like, I got everybody, caught everybody that was needed, caught the stylist, which was Chad, hairstylist with Paris J. Okay. The makeup artist with my wife, Jazz B.
Shout out to work.
Who else? Zach was the main camera operator, and then Rico, R7. He, like, him and Zach shoot a lot of my videos.
Should I protect Rico?
Lillian, she was the producer, AD, whatever you want to call her. I just need her in every video shoot.
Who
else was there? Maybe her hairstyle.
That was
weird. Yeah, everybody came out there, and, Zach found the building, found the school. I had to do the paperwork. I ain't nothing to do. We had to do insurance to get these locations. Because, you know, I was just thinking about getting the peer space. And, boost the peer space. We're going to pull up, record, and shoot. I got the idea. But that morning, I got a big Airbnb. Mm-hmm. You know, guys and girls here. So everybody would sleep accordingly. You know what I'm saying? And that morning, me and Zach woke up. So me and Zach woke up. This is on camera, like documented too. Like, I'm in there working on the treatment that morning. I had an idea already about working on the treatment that morning. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Chad, make sure you get the fits. Chad going to the showroom, getting the club. I'm like, B also incorporated his Don't Let Mom Find Out in the video. What else happened? I did the treatment and we got the rolling, so I got like a behind the scenes of me like showing them what to do in the video. Like, Lee had to come out the bathroom. I had to do, like, you need to act like this, how your emotion need to look. Zach running to the door by mistake. It was, you know, it's a lot of cool stuff. I was showing Slime. She needed to just look like, it was like tomboy vibe. I don't really care to be here type of vibe. Gloss was like the hot chip eater at 7 o'clock in the morning. Carbon was the one who always talking. And Elisa was like the sweet girl. And but you see them like at the playground, like doing their personality.
That's good.
So like, yeah, it was cool.
So good.
So you just gotta look, go back and just look into it. Then, like the camera zooms was like that on purpose, like just weird, super weird, and like intentionally like awkward, like little zones. Like it was kind of supposed to get like the Office type of vibe a little bit. That was like the base idea for it. Other than that, yeah, it was fun.
It's
fun.
Yeah. It turned out really, really good though.
Mm-hmm.
What's your, like, out of everything you created, everything you produced, what's your top favorite thing or that you're most proud of?
I have to say FNF Shibuya number one. Mm-hmm. I mean, FNF number one, Shibuya number two. Considering the accolades that came with FNF, I would put that number one. Shibuya number two. All right, number three. I have to say this song called Damn with Lil Migo and Clay with Crucial. Yeah. Because we were like one of the first songs going viral on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like Damn. It was like a 20.
I think I heard that.
It's like a 20.
Yeah.
I don't even remember, bro. And like, this was around COVID, if I'm not mistaken.
I was going to say, is that 2020?
2019? 2019, 2020, 2020, I think, yeah. And we, yeah. That song blew up randomly. One person used on TikTok, and it just had blew up like.
For real?
We were posting it. I'm like, why am I getting so many likes and stuff out of nowhere? Like, you know, we weren't doing no super quantity. You know what I'm trying to say. You know I'm trying to be funny. But it wasn't nothing that going on. We just posting the song. And then we ended up seeing some girls on the still. I kept seeing the video, but I ain't had the volume on. I'm like, why I keep seeing this? Why people tagging me in this? And I looked at it, and they like rocking to the beat on the steps. And then I started seeing more videos. This week when people was like just putting songs on top of videos.
Wait, I know exactly what you're talking about.
What?
This song, I know.
Yeah, so it was like, I'm posting it. I'm like, bro, why is we getting so many?
That's crazy.
It was out the blue. I'm like, bro, what is going on?
Dang, that's crazy.
And then I think it's named Corey, the YouTube guy. Corey, I don't know his whole name, mm-hmm. but he was one of the main ones. The guy Jay, he did a video in the closet, and it just went viral. And I think Corey, the one who made the video of the girl sitting on the steps, rocking side to side. Then after that, that joint was just taking off. But this is my top song outside of FNF and Shibuya. This is my third top song. Yeah, I just looked at it. It's crazy.
That's crazy. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. Man,
it's
crazy.
Yeah, so you come on with just the piano.
Yeah.
Damn.
Come on,
damn. But I gotta tell you how we did the song. I think Zach got the footage of the.
That came from it. Good job, man.
So we was in the studio, like it was actually a Block Boy session, but we in there before him.
Uh-huh.
And this is our partner, so we were like, bro, we just finna record. And I had the beat. I was like, can I do a song for my album?
Yeah.
It played the beat. And Clay was like, what I'm going to do on this? Because I was like, you and Migo can do a song.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to say? You know, Migo, like, ad-lib was like, damn. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you just say ad-lib on the chord. Just, you say damn. And y'all just go back and forth.
It's their producer putting stuff together.
And then they were like, damn. Clay was like, what I'm going to do? I just say damn. You say damn, too. Damn. And they're sitting in the seat,
mm-hmm.
right there line, one get up, All right, you say your line, go back, and then I think, I don't know how long after that we did the video, but we had went to the studio in North Memphis and shot the video. Yeah. Everybody looked like them said, you see our personality within the video. And I don't know, that just went crazy.
Literally.
No pun intended.
No pun intended.
Nah, that was crazy. Just think about how we went. We had like 56,000 TikTok videos like 3-4 years ago.
I did not know that was y'all. That's crazy.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people even just paid attention to it.
Yeah.
So
TikTok was blowing stuff up, man.
This before like TikTok was known for blowing songs up. So if that was going on right now, oh yeah. We were so tapped up.
That's insane.
We got, I don't know, having it. We got some millions on this song for sure. Stream, like real deal, a lot of stream. I really think we probably gold already. I ain't gonna lie. Mm. We got to be like gold or something. Honestly.
Speaking of streams, I want you to break down, because I want to know also, like, how is it in the music industry with like artists and producers? How is the, like, what's the question? How do y'all get paid? Like, where do you get paid from?
There's plenty of ways, but it's say I do the beat, you do the song. I mean, you the artist, I'm the producer. I give you the beat, we work on it. It's only you. You the only lyricist. Mm-hmm. Whose voice is on it? You ain't have nobody on the song. You got 50% of the song, whoever get the session technically on the song, mm-hmm. but. For the most part, the artist be the one put out the song, but the producer put out the song because he got the session, then he own the song. That's like, it's differently, but y'all still, it still should be 50-50, like, in terms of, like, splits. Mm-hmm. Unless y'all talk about it otherwise, and just however the streams accumulate, let's say y'all make 100,000, y'all go get, you get half, 50-50. So it's just different type of royalties and stuff that you get. But on the master side, it might be a little bit different. Like, it depends on how it's set up. Yeah, it depends on how it's set up. Like, in my case, I'm probably doing 50-50 on the masters, which I don't necessarily have to, because, like, a lot of people just not doing it. If I do 50-50 on the masters, then me, how much the song make, I get 50% of it, and you get 50% of it. Mm. I mean, then you get the other 50%. And this part of how you get paid. It's a lot of ways you get paid. You get paid a YouTube video, different size of the YouTube video. It's so many ways to get paid. So, like, even if you ain't got no big song, bro, none of that stuff, it really don't matter, because it don't even matter.
We learned something new today,
guys. Nah, you can get by. So you feel like your song really not up to par, please, it's cool, bro. Like, trust me, it's plenty of ways to get paid. But one song, matter of fact, one song can land like in a Netflix show, and you get like $5,000 for that song, maybe.
Really?
They just.
And they don't even show the whole song. It just be like a little clip of it.
It just be in the background. Like, it says, I don't know, we sitting at a cafe, and you just hear a little song in the back playing, like, at the restaurant in the back. You might get, like, $3,500 just for that. Oh. That's just for one show. Another show might use the same song. It might pay you more. It might use more of the song. I got a lot of songs at P-Valley.
You do?
Yeah, I think three the first episode, first season. Maybe, like, 6 or 7. The second season. Trying to get some stuff on season 3 and go for that. I had some, I got the song Get Bigger with Cold Cash. Just recently, this documentary with the women's college basketball. They were singing Shibuya in the locker room. Like, yeah, I even got like paid out of the Sprite commercial.
For real?
Just for them saying, let's go. I got paid for them saying, let's go in the Sprite commercial.
That's weird. Oh, shit. It's plenty.
Just because they said, like, if you go watch the Sprite commercial.
Just for using Let's Go?
Like, they said, Let's Go? Yeah, I get paid for that. But that's when, like, that's in terms of, like, ownership, like, that's the pro about it. One of the pros about it, and just go back to say about, like, stuff on the masters. Mm-hmm. On the master side, you, like, on the masters, you get this, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. top way to get paid.
You just told me something. Didn't know that.
Yeah, so if I was to, say, popping my collar on the show, mm-hmm. would 360 them go out to get paid?
Start making some catchphrases.
Yeah, make sure you own it though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so I was gonna say, so with that, do you have to have those words like trademark and everything, or is that without being trademarked?
I know in our case they register, so it's like it's kind of in the sense. Well, I don't want to be contractually wrong, but yeah. somehow within it, us registering the song with the lyrics and all that. Mm-hmm. That's how we, you know, we get paid.
Oh,
but you know, people, the smaller artists,
yeah.
if somebody big use their stuff or, you know, steal it, mm-hmm. you have to go through a whole lot to kind of prove it. Mm-hmm. But you can technically win. Cause I had did a song and these people thought I copied like they melody, which I didn't. I wasn't even thinking about them. I'm like, bro, I literally wasn't even thinking about you making this beat. I actually made it for somebody else, and you sitting over here talking about I stole the melody. Whole time, he thought I sampled it. Whole time, he could really sleek, like, get off if he wanted to, but he really couldn't in this case. But like, it could have went his favor. So, yeah.
All right, y'all. We're going to close it out in a second, but I want you to answer this question. You're in the music industry, and you know, the music industry gets very dark. Like, well, in my opinion.
Nah, it
gets
dark.
It gets very, very, yeah, it gets very, very dark. How do you, like, stay true to yourself in such a dark industry? Or, like, how do you stay, like, true to your morals in the dark
industry? If you're true to yourself and always yourself, and it's easy.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing hard about it.
Yeah.
Man, come do this, and you don't do it, don't do it. Yeah, I'm able to maneuver anywhere I want to go, like, because I'm me. Like, I'm standing on the bed, and, like, you can't make me, you can't bully. Ain't nothing there going on. I just ain't doing it then. I ain't going for none of it. Like, I'm not going around anything. I feel like, even then, like, there be a whole lot of stuff going on. You ain't touching me, dealing with me, like, bothering me. Mm-hmm. You ain't to my
mind. It's crazy, because you would think that it's like that for, you would think it would be like that for most people, but it's still so many people.
They were nobodies.
Yeah.
They were nobodies. They were nobodies.
Like, I want to keep them, no, do whatever.
They ain't never had no money. They started seeing them yeah. getting paperwork and see the money. Mm-hmm. Hey, I got you for this. If you want to, we over here. It's a little money over here. Yeah. I ain't go up like.
When they not used to nothing, then it's like you got to keep whatever you find.
Yeah, like they ain't never had no these type of friend. They ain't never been exposed to these type of, you know, going to the club and sitting in the section, popping bars and all this. And what else come with? I don't know. Just anything. They just really want, probably ain't have it or just want nobody in general or just want raise right.
Yeah.
They was just want raise with.
I was going to say, it's probably just. The
most important. Just stay true to yourself. Like, it don't matter who you're around. But on the flip side, you'll meet some people, like some great people. Like, you know, people be saying, man, ain't nobody interested in the music. We get it, but it's some good people that make you like, you know what I'm saying? They just make you feel good about how you already are with yourself. So just get with like-minded people. So whether if you like going to the club or doing other stuff and you with like-minded people, that's just your thing. But like me personally, I ain't necessarily got to hang around like-minded people for me to be myself.
Yeah.
So it's just a push. Yeah.
Well, y'all learned a whole bunch of new stuff today. Okay, producers, get y'all shit together, basically. That's what I'm going to tell y'all. Get y'all shit together.
Please.
Got a question. All right, so... like following your journey, like ever since the beginning, you've always been about schedules.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know the backstory with schedules, like, you know.
So like like 2017 or the end of 16. What up? 2017, I was wearing like the Nike Monk. No. 2016, 15 or 17. Mm-hmm. Between 15 and 17, I was wearing Nike Monarchs before they were like hype beats, before everybody was like rocking them joints. Mm-hmm. And they started putting me in Foot Locker and people were trying to wear it like, yo, I'm wearing these. I'm like, I really was like, I'm the first one really like was making them, was adding, putting the sauce to them. Like, I made them look cool and made them fashionable. And when they started hitting the market and going crazy and they started changing the color, I was like, nah, y'all really just messing up the swag. So I ended up seeing some sketches. I was like, I'm going to rock these joints. And started doing it like in 18. That was the end of it. I saw, I'm doing photo shoot. I had did my own like commercials, trying to get that set. My EPK, the sketches, I DM'd them. I know all the people that work there, and like not personally, but know who to reach out to. Still trying to figure it out, but yeah, nobody else like doing it.
Describe your aesthetic fashion wise.
Like anything retro, I got accustomed to just wearing jeans a whole lot. But anything dealing with from the 90s, like you put in your head like FUBU, Dada, Duckhead, you know, that type of swag. I call it dad swag, but. Like how most of the time it's dad swag, but it's like mixed with like street or like urban 90s swag too. But it was really like that at first, and then as I just got old, I just got tired of trying to buy so many clothes. Yeah. I just got jeans and found me a cool looking shirt instead of like trying so hard to be too different.
Yeah.
Okay. Like right now it's cool. I never wore this shirt, so it's a Memphis joint. Yeah. Ain't going on sketches.
Do you have a story behind your chain?
I always used to tell my friend, my partner Block, he used to be like, bro, you gonna get you a diamond chain.
I was gonna say, people get diamond chains.
He like, you gonna get you a diamond chain, bro. Like, oh God, Hickey, you gonna get you a diamond chain, bro. Quit flogging, bro. I was like, no, I'm telling you, whenever I have the funds to really
invest
or just get in the space of like getting jewelry, I will get gold. Like, I got gold teeth, they nugget cut, I got gold rings, they nugget cut, I got pendant, this nugget cut, and then this chain just, like, you know what I'm saying, rope. I got another one, my son got it, and yeah, he took off my neck, and I got another one, it's like, I don't even know what kind of cut it is. Probably get another one later, but it's just hard, it matched my swag. It made my sweat. And then people be getting fake diamonds.
That's true.
Well, more than night.
I was going to say this.
Yeah. They be getting it. And I when I was walking and trying to find some gold nexus, I go in, I just want to see like the diamond jewelry, whatever. And John went hitting on, like, I'm like, why is it so cheap?
Yeah.
And I went in one spot, I know them diamonds were real. John, real. 50K for something that was this side, this joint, what's Mikado? I think the chain I seen was hollow. This is solid.
Yeah, that's
heavy too. Yeah, it was like 290 something grand, 96 grand, something like that. So, but it's just me, like.
Yeah.
I put it. I finna start like wearing a whole lot of gold chain. Like, this my sway. You see my head turned to the side? Mm-hmm. That's me.
That's good. I fuck with it.
Make sure y'all turn his head to the side and watch the interview.
Okay.
I saw that you posted maybe about a month or two ago. You posted that you got some land and you're actually building, a camp south, right?
Yeah.
So, you want to go into that?
Oh yeah. So I got I bought some property. In Memphis. I don't know what made me get on like. Looking, I don't know what made me start looking at it. But I ended up getting a property in Memphis. Mm-hmm. It was on like Facebook off market, and I seen it was cheap. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm finna get this. This is my first time trying to buy some property. I think I'm finna get this and just I'm just gonna get it just because I don't know. I think this cheap.
I gotta deal with
it. Let me double check. Let me see what's going on. It don't look that bad. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just finna hold this and I started figuring out what I want to do. I had one to demo the house, which I technically did, but I got it refined, blah, blah, blah. Got the trees cut, which I made a mistake and didn't keep the lumber because I went, you know, I ain't really know because I could have used the lumber and put it, because I got add-ons to the back of the crib, so it's really like bigger than it looking in front. And I'm still starting on the I haven't started on the studio yet, so like the building you see is like the house. So I'm not, it's not a studio for everybody to come to, it's just like the home, the HQ, the headquarters. You know, when people come in town, they want to sleep somewhere, they, you know what I'm saying? Or my family will come to the studio where I work. And they can just stay up front. We go have an entertainment center in the front. And, yeah, but they had to lay the concrete down. It was just crazy. Like, looking at the property. Went out there. I couldn't even get to the back. It was so junky. I couldn't get to the back. You couldn't walk in the house. The person died who property I had. And their house, John, was... Yeah, you couldn't walk in there. You try to go around to the side. I just feel like I just knew a snake would go bite my pants. It just, you couldn't get back there. You couldn't even see, like, it was crazy. And then just watching the process of the tree getting cut down, especially like the one they had to lean on that was going across at the top, blocking the sun. And when that came, it went away, they chopped that junk down and the tree was gone. My brother, it's crazy. Then you first start the concrete, mm-hmm. and then you see all that space you had back there. And I just stood on concrete. I was like, bro, this is crazy. Like, it used to be 10 trees right here, and I got all that cut. And you just see the process of, like, just all the stuff you just doing to the career, to the property. And yeah. Yeah, that's, and then it's a piece of land beside my place that I'm trying to find out who owned it, but yeah. It's so off market. We had to write a letter. We had to write a letter to try to see to get the property, because I'm really trying to make it like a compound, so get their property, put a gym right there, like community center. I don't know, some little stuff like that. Yeah.
People not doing that for us, so
yeah, it ain't too many, especially like people in the, you know, music industry,
yeah.
Especially like here in Memphis, or at least letting it be known that they doing it to, you know what I'm saying, inspire other people to do it. So I'm doing it and want to showcase so other people have the sense of trying to, you know, want to do it themselves. And
are you going to record that process, like block or do some sort of like documentation of the process?
I really didn't. I should. I took pictures. It's for the most part done, but I think I am now. When I start on the, at least the, I really need to do it for the studio. But yeah,
you,
I recorded a little bit. Just a little. I have recorded a little bit, but I am. I should. I do. I have like phone videos, but I think I want to do like.
You like things, like things.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sure. I was just excited. I wasn't excited about spending money, though. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah, the concrete costs a lot. But I did not want no cheap property.
Yeah.
I did not want no cheap property. Yeah. Like, could I be looking at other people establishing? My house falling apart. Hey, we're gonna keep talking. Am my house falling apart?
We're back.
In action.
Okay. All right, tell us, what do you have coming up next?
Juneteenth Festival, June 16th. Make sure y'all come there. It's going to be very exciting. I plan on dropping, like, a lot of songs. I won't say a lot, but a few songs with some underground artists, like the videos. Tonight, I don't think this video coming out tonight, but by this time, you probably heard it.
Go look
it. Key Glock, Doughboy, Hit Kid, song called Night. By the time you see this, the video might be out. I don't know. But, hey, go check that out. And then I'm also working on my album. I'm working on a lot of albums. I just want to put that song like we were talking about earlier as far as, like, man, look, just put it out. Whether you got, like, 10 or 2,000 fans, man, keep putting it. Make sure your content is up to par to your liking.
What's that?
Just packed it up nice and put it out. So that's what I'm working on now. Everything I'm doing, packed it up nice and putting it out.
All right, y'all. That wraps up this episode. Any last words on just like encouraging more people who want to step into like any other career or just creativity or anything?
Do drugs. Not just playing. Just try it. Try it.
Go for it, bro.
Whatever it is, do it. And don't half-ass. Like, just do it. Like, do it. Man, I'm trying to. Man.
Excuses.
Come on, man. What excuses? Nah.
Bruh. Okay, yeah. But keep on.
But yeah, stop making excuses. It's crazy. Nah, for real though. Stop making excuses.
Get off your butt and go for it. Stop overthinking. Talking to myself too. Stop overthinking.
Yeah, I wish I had bigger words and all the stuff I learned, heard in like podcasts and all this. Yeah, overall, yeah.
You like Nike?
You.
Okay.
I'm talking about you sitting right here on the couch being lazy. Not you. Nah.
All right, y'all. That wraps up this episode. Stay tuned for the next episode and make sure y'all hit up Juneteenth, okay?
Please.
Period.
I'm jumping the crowd, not just playing.
You're gonna crowd serve.
They ain't gonna hit. They ain't gonna better pick me up.
They gonna catch you.
They went on Erykah Badu. Y'all not gonna catch me. I'm gonna jump. They gonna be like,
they gonna watch you.
All right, send them up. Erykah, come on. All right, y'all. Nah, for real. No excuses.
No excuses. Get off your butt and just do it like Nike said. Period. Okay.
Man, squeeze the bottle too hard.